Please turn with me tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're reading tonight from the 10th verse down to verse 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight, for being able to sing hymns that so give testimony of our faith, of Thy goodness, of love, of salvation. We thank Thee, Father, for the joy we have of fellowship together in the house of prayer. I ask that we will be settled now before Thee. I pray, Lord, that every distracting thought would be taken away. Don't allow anything to intrude upon our time now, because we know that's the devil's plan for every meeting, some distracting thought, some tempting thing. And Lord, may we be victorious and overcomers. We pray for the defeat of the evil one. We ask that we might just feast around the Word of God tonight. Lord, give us direction. Give us instruction. Help us to walk in the way of truth and holiness. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sin, I pray. Let me be a cleansed vessel, sanctified and meet, made ready for Thy use. Lord, I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit, the anointing of God. I pray that everyone who is here, listening in this service or over the internet, would also know Thy Spirit's power upon them. Lord, we're not about our own business. We're not about playing games. We don't want to go through any religious ritual. We desire, Lord, to meet with Thee. We desire to know the power of God in our lives. And for this, Lord, we plead, we cry unto Thee. We lay hold of the promise that Azariah spoke to the king. Oh, if ye seek him, he will be found of you. Lord, let us draw near with all our hearts, all our souls. And Father, where we find inability, where we find a lack of zeal, where we are confronted, Lord, with our own carnality, take it away, we pray. May we come for a devoted hour now, and yet use this time to make an impact upon our lives. Lord, I pray that we will be changed. We will be impacted by the Word. Dear Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. Bless our dear friends who are visiting from overseas tonight. We pray that their time with us in Canada will be a blessed time. They know good fellowship in the things of God. Keep them safe, we pray, and watch over them. We also remember, Lord, the families of those who are grieving at this time, connected with this congregation. Help us to minister to them, to be an encouragement, to draw by their side, and to help them at this time. So hear our prayers now tonight. Be with us, we ask in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. When you came into the service tonight, you were given a little pamphlet, a little folder. I would encourage you strongly to take this to your heart and read it, not now, hopefully, but a little bit later on, and to encourage yourself. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight on this subject of the importance of praying for those in the Lord's work. To pray for pastors, to be interceding for those in teaching positions. This is absolutely essential for the Church of Christ. It cannot be overemphasized. And I believe that the way the apostle here has presented it to us, we will see tonight just how vital a job and a task this really is. Prayer is the seventh part of the Christian armor that is listed in Ephesians 6. And as I mentioned last Lord's Day evening, there is no specific counterpart to the type that is given to us in the soldier's outfit. It is not just a part of it, but it is an integral component without which the whole exercise is reduced to something of religious mechanics. The apostle here, by the Holy Spirit, is using the type of the soldier in order that we will see the application of its truth in our daily lives. But keep in mind, as illustrations are used, they are simply that, and they cannot be overweighted. And so when there is no specific part for prayer, that's not the point. The point is that he is driving home Christian conduct. He is driving home the duty and the ministry that we are involved with and that we must take very much to our heart. And so Paul labors the point of the importance of prayer in all forms available. Because you'll notice in verse 19 or verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer. All prayer and supplications. And he means by that we are to come to the Lord with all forms of prayer and all ways of expressing our heart's desire. Because sometimes prayer is worship. Sometimes prayer is petition, where we are seeking God for that we have need of. Sometimes prayer comes by way of supplication on the behalf of others, interceding for them. Sometimes prayer is that which cannot be uttered with words, because we have no words. And the heart is so burdened, so grieved, so troubled, that all we can do is say, Lord, help me. And when we cry out to God in that way, He hears our prayers, because the Spirit of God knows your heart. He knows my soul. He knows the inner workings of us. God knows us better than we know ourselves. You think you know yourself well? I consider I know myself well. The Lord knows us better, and He knows what is good for us. And he knows what to give us and what not to allow us to have for our improvement. So he shows us that we are to use all forms available in order for prayer to be a powerful force. It's intended to be in the Spirit. And that's the only way that our prayers will be a powerful force. It has to be in the Spirit. If our praying is in the flesh, which we all know too well that our prayers can be, when our prayers are in the flesh, they are ineffectual. They are not powerful before God. So that's why the apostle says to us that we are to come with prayers, all prayer, supplication, and it must be in the Spirit, it has to be in the right way, and with the right direction, the right mind, the right direction toward the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is also no mistake that connected with effectual praying is an attitude of watchfulness. That also comes to us in the 18th verse. An attitude of watchfulness to always be on our guard, observing. What do we observe? Well, friends, we observe the maneuverings of the evil one and how he attempts to undermine our own faith, but also the maneuverings of the evil one in the local church body. Let's always be on our guard because the devil is very subtle. And there are times when we need to sound the alarm in our own lives and in the lives of other Christians when we see they may have a blind spot, may not see something coming. Let us, with charity and with grace, be careful to sound that alarm, to be watchful in all things. The apostle then exhorts that prayer should be made for all saints, no one left out. Now, of course, we know that we do not know all who are saved in the world. But we do know and we have interest in those who are in the local body. And we have close connection with them. Therefore, I believe that the real import of Paul's words, prayer for all saints, is going to be to all saints in a general sense, but in specific sense, those who you are immediately connected with, to be in prayer for one another. Because when we are in prayer for one another, we are taking the local needs of those who are our neighbors, we are taking them very much to our heart. And to make supplication for all saints, for all those who are around us, it means that we are bringing their needs before the throne of grace. And the Lord said, "By all this," or "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." And that expression of love is going to be in the spirit that we have to bring others before the throne of grace. And you see, the more diligently that we pray for others, the less we are likely to be embittered or to complain about them. There'll be less criticism, less suspicion, and more love. And some of the differences that can cause division, why, they will more quickly evaporate. They will go away in a climate of, could we say, fervent love for the Lord, fervent love for His people. Then Paul proceeds in verse 19, which is the text I leave with you tonight. He proceeds in verse 19 to plead for prayer for himself, that he would be empowered to speak boldly for the Lord in the preaching of the gospel. And I want to examine this 19th verse tonight with this subject in mind, a plea to pray for pastors and trust that God will give to each of us a burning passion to seek Him, praying for the Spirit's power on His preaching servants in order that your own souls will be edified and the kingdom of Christ will be extended. For friends, when you engage in earnest, effectual intercession for your pastors, then you are going to be the recipients of that blessing in your own lives. For the Word of God will come to you with power from God's Spirit. I say, therefore, believers, arm yourselves today and prepare for battle. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. You cannot do this by your own power, and you will not be able to stand in your own strength, but with the power and the grace of Christ resting on us, we will be enabled to, because we are empowered by the Spirit to live for Him. We are to be engaged in the conflict that chapter 6 has been talking about all through our study in Ephesians, and for the testimony and defense of the body of Christ. And the Lord has equipped us to face this very conflict by giving us the armor of God. And so the action we are to be engaged in is putting on. And we are to put on truth, to live it, and to love truth, for it undergirds the whole spiritual man. And we are to take on righteousness to cover our heart, and to have on the shoes of the gospel of peace, and to be shielded by faith as a protection from the heated darts of Satan, to have on helmets, the helmets of salvation, and the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, taken both to advance and to defend the faith. So having said all that, the question comes, why are we to pray for pastors? The answer is because they have been entrusted with the Word of God. Entrusted with the Word of God. This is the message from heaven. It is a message from God. It is the Word of God, and it's described in several ways in the Scripture. It is called, of course, the Word of God. It's called the Word of Life. It is called the Word of Reconciliation, whereby man is reconciled with God and God reconciled with man. It is called the Scriptures of Truth, the message of hope, and the gospel of peace. These name only a few that describe God's message. And it highlights, each one of them highlight a different aspect of God's Word. Now the very fact that this Word has been put into the hands of men, I say to you tonight, is a very fearful responsibility to deal with it correctly. It must not be added to, and it must not be taken from. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the apostle says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We have been put in trust with the gospel. This is a fearful responsibility. And one that every man of God that sees himself in the position holding this word of the Lord, it is an awesome thing that we have. And Paul, he therefore asked the people in Ephesus, as he does presenting this letter to them, he says, "That utterance may be given unto me." He sees the fearfulness of this great responsibility. Now the word utterance in verse 19 is the word logos, with the article in front of it where it would say the word or the logos. We find that in John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it refers specifically there to Jesus Christ, who is the incarnate Word of God, the logos
from heaven. But here in this place, there is no article in front of it. So there is more of a sense of it referring to specific words themselves. Paul is asking them to pray that he will have the power of speech, that he will have the freedom of expression to have an open and undisguised declaration of the gospel. That's what he is praying for. The idea given in this word is frankness or unrestrained declaration. You see, this message of God is the breathing of the Lord, the inspired word. And this breathing of the Lord, this message that communicates the vital information of life to fallen man. Some information that we receive in life is very normal, and it's for our convenience. Perhaps as you're driving along the 401, you know those LED signs that are overhead, and they tell you that the collector lanes ahead are moving slowly beyond the next transfer. So that's an informational sign. And of course, when you read that, everyone then moves from this lane over into the collector lanes, and now they're all the express lanes, now they're the ones that are all built up and slowed down. Some information that we receive is harmful and it's deceptive. But not so with the Word of God, because it has to be termed essential information. Essential to life, essential to peace, and essential to eternity. And Paul knows that what he needs does not come from himself, because the Word did not come from himself. It was revealed by the Spirit of God, and therefore it must be handled faithfully. That's why the work of translation of the Word of God is so important. We're not dealing with the translation of Shakespeare or Plato or Aristotle. We're not dealing with the translation of some poetry. We are dealing with the translation of God's holy word. And therefore, to approach that, it must be done with the greatest of care. It must be done with the greatest of fear and reverence for the God whom we worship and for the revelation that has been given by the Lord. And Paul, realizing this, he says, pray for me that utterance, that unrestrained declaration may be given to me, because the word that I have to give is one that is not from man, but it has come from the Lord Himself. I want you to notice, secondly, that there is an admonition here to pray that pastors will be empowered to declare this message with power. For he says that I may open my mouth boldly. And so Paul has been given this word, and now he is praying that he will be empowered to declare it aright. Because the message is of the Lord, and that's where it has originated, it is something more to speak this word faithfully. It's more than eloquence. Friends, it's more than smoothness of language. It's more than the gift of oratory. Here the apostle is praying for that which cannot be made up. He is praying for unction. He is praying for an anointing from God. He realizes that the Word is the Word of God, and therefore to handle the unsearchable riches of Christ, he needs something that he does not have himself. And I say that to you tonight. I realize that very issue myself. Friends, this is not my word, and I am not here by my own charge. But I am here standing before you by the calling of God and by the authority of heaven. And therefore, the message that the pastor, the faithful pastor, has, he realizes this word cannot be handled deceitfully. It cannot be handled carelessly. And I cannot speak this word by my own strength. I need a power that I do not possess naturally. I need that anointing from heaven. And therefore, he is saying, the apostle to the Christians that he is preaching to, that he is talking to and writing to, friends, I need your prayer. And it is so solemn when he presents that responsibility upon the people of God. And it rests upon you tonight. And it rests upon you as you are a part of this ministry. Whether you are an official member of the church or those who have been attending for some time, as a believer, it is your responsibility before God that you hold up those who are in the pulpit, those who are in teaching ministry, those who have the responsibility to share the Word of God with others. It is because this power to speak is not natural, my friend, it is not something that can be learned. There is much within the operation of the pastorate that must be learned. There is much in the study of Scripture that must be learned. And we believe that the pastor, we believe that the teaching responsibility of the pulpit, it must be an educated one. There has to be a degree, a level of learning in order to feed and teach the people. And that's why when the Lord said to Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep," he was instructing them, Peter, and all pastors following on, that there is a responsibility. And that responsibility means that there is learning and study and work that must go into the preparation of the Word of God. There must be time spent. But my friends, the unction that he is praying for here, this utterance that he is asking the people to pray for him for, it is not something that can be learned. This is something that is given by God. It is a given thing. And therefore, this given thing by nature is different from that which is worked for or that is learned. And therefore, it has certain responsibilities attached to it. And the responsibility that comes, first of all, is that it cannot be presumed upon. That will be the great decline of any pulpit, of any pastor, of any man who presumes and thinks that, well, because there was some evidence of God's power in my life or in my ministry in the past, I will automatically assume to have this in the future. In the meanwhile, the pastor's life is not what it should be. Backsliding, carnality, things have come into the life, which means that the man is not what he used to be. And there perhaps is sin in the camp or in the heart. And therefore, that man who comes to the pulpit and thinks, well, I had experience before of God's presence, and I will just assume to have it again. No, friend, that will not work. That will never work. And therefore, the responsibility that upon you as God's people will be to hold up your pastors and pray earnestly for them, to pray daily for them, to hold on to God for them, because if there's any place that the devil will try to undermine the local church, where is it going to start? Friend, it will be right
and the pastors of your congregation. We know well the story of Samson. And we read through the story of Samson and we're overwhelmed by the great might and power that this man had. And there was nothing about Samson that would have indicated he was a strong man. That's what you see so startled the Philistines. They couldn't figure out, why can this man do these things? He was just an ordinary looking character like anyone else. He wasn't like Mr. America or Mr. Universe. And yet Samson, as he sadly went away from God and backslid and went into carnality and wickedness, when he shook himself again, he did not know that the power of God had left him. I'll say to you honestly, that's the most fearful thing for any man of God, for any pastor, to have to realize that they've come to the point where they do not have the Lord's Spirit in the ministry of the Word. At which point, we might as well close the book, not waste your time anymore, close the doors, and everyone can go home. Friends, I say to you tonight, before the fear of God, if you are not praying for your pastors, you are failing in your responsibility. If I, as a pastor of the Word of God, am not praying for myself, then I am failing in my responsibility toward you. And you need the Word of God. You need it in your own heart. And therefore, it cannot be presumed upon. And something else about the responsibility that we have here is because this is not something that is learned but given. It must not be abused. You see, the very fact that a gift from God can be abused is given to us in proof in the New Testament because of the gift of languages. In the New Testament, the gift of languages, the ability to speak a language that was not learned, was given to the apostles. And that gift given to them was for the dissemination of the Word of God. It was for the promotion of the wonderful works of the Lord. And all friends, here we have the Spirit of God poured out and given to the apostles to be able to speak something they had not known. But yet that gift was abused, because Paul had to correct it in 1 Corinthians 14. There were people that were using that, and it became a way of promoting self in the local congregation. The gifts of God should never be abused, and therefore, the pastor, as he needs this unction from God, must be careful how it is used. And then it should never be boasted in as if it came from self. The devil is so good at using different angles to come at a person that is involved in the Lord's work. And sometimes there can be the lifting up of self, the feeling, oh, well, I've done well. And you know what that is like from a Christian point of view. And we have to be very careful about that. We have to be very certain, friends, that we are about the Master's business, and we realize that what we have has been given to us. And Paul argues, look, if you've received something from the Lord, why boast in it as if you have not received it? The apostle said here, in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Open my mouth. Here's the part where he has been empowered to declare, and he is saying that I need to have my tongue loosed, my mouth opened. Now, he's speaking specifically about the ministry of preaching the word.
He is talking here specifically about what it is to declare the truth. Now, we know that there are other ways to declare the truth. It's done in the written form. It's done on one-to-one evangelism. And of course, even in that, there is the using of our mouths to speak the Word of God. And therefore, believer, you need to pray that God would loose your tongue and enable you to speak for Him on a one-to-one basis when you meet someone to witness to them. But when we think about this in the context of the pulpit and of declaring God's truth, Paul said, my mouth must be opened so that I can declare the word of truth with accuracy. The word of truth, he goes on to say, with boldness. Here's the power of God's Spirit that the apostle knew that he had to have. I'd say if anyone in the New Testament was prone to glory in what they had done or accomplished, it would have been the apostle, because he wrote 13 at least of the New Testament books. And the apostle to the Gentiles was, his name is mentioned more in the New Testament than any other man's name is mentioned. And so when we think about him, he had perhaps the legitimate reason of boasting, if we could put it that way. But he said the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh so that he would not glory in himself. And though he prayed for the removal of that thorn, he knew in his heart after he had prayed that God would not take it away. He intended it to remain in his life so that he would glory rather in his weakness, so that Christ would be magnified. And friends, we have to realize that when the Lord enables us and calls us to a high calling, that we are to use our mouths to speak His word and to pray that He will enable us with that boldness to be empowered for His honor. And then thirdly, Paul asks the people so that he will be enabled to reveal the mystery of the gospel. Read verse 19, the last phrase. He says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known unto you the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Of course, at this time, Paul was incarcerated. He was in prison. He was in bonds. And yet, he did not want to let those things hinder him. He said, the word of God cannot be bound. And he realized himself that I have a great message. I have the unsearchable riches of Christ to declare. And that word that he speaks in chapter 3 and verse 8 of this very book, he said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so, friends, he had this mystery given to him. He had this in his hand, and he was a custodian. It was placed within his trust. And this mystery, from its very origin, spoke of that which was divine. And when a divine thing is placed in the care of a human being, do we realize how vital it is to care for this? How important it is for us to know that this divine truth, this mystery of the wonder of Christ, has been given to this sinner, into my hands, to present to people? Oh, friends, is there any wonder you need to pray for your pastor? Is there any wonder you need to intercede for him? If you have not been doing this, then repent today and say, Lord, give me grace and power to do my duty and my responsibility. The apostle needed to be enabled
because it was a tremendous, a divine word, a mysterious word of the gospel that he had to preach, and because it was a message of power, because the very subject matter is the Son of God. The subject matter is the revealed will of God, and therefore it is a message of power. And this message must be cared for, it must be handled, it must be presented as it is the Word of God. Because doing that, knowing its origin and its power, there will be a result. The Word of God will not return void. As a matter of fact, it cannot return void, because it is divine in its origin. And because it is clothed with the power of God Himself, it will accomplish that which the Lord intends. And all of these things together, friend, they show us that we have a responsibility that cannot be neglected. That's why I say to you, the message was written by this man, Gardner Spring, a plea to pray for pastors, is a good word. And I pray you will take it to heart and read it and be encouraged by it, and so that you might be also able to hold up those that are serving the Lord. We are involved in the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. That is our denomination. I know that God has called me to this denomination to be a servant. But I also know this, that there are many others who are faithfully serving the Lord, who are endeavoring to walk and to follow Him. And so, yes, when the Apostle says we are to pray for all saints and to pray inclusively there for all pastors that are faithfully standing by the Word, let us do that. We remember those who are in bonds today. We remember and think of pastors who are in prison this very day, being persecuted in Islamic lands because they have no freedom of the gospel. There are many who need our prayers today. Let us not be neglectful of that fact. But friends, as God has called us to this place, let us labor in prayer for the pastors that are under our oversight, if we could put it that way. And to pray that the Lord will raise up men of God to be men of prayer, men of preaching faithfully the crown rights of King Jesus, that we will not capitulate, that we will not compromise, we will not give in, but the Lord will enable us to do what is right, to do what is true, to follow in the pathway of our Redeemer. Because at the end there is a crown laid up for us. And the Apostle said, a crown of righteousness which is laid up for me. And not for me only, he said, but unto all them that love his appearing. And so, friends, I encourage you tonight, be strong in the Lord. Stand into your responsibilities. See these things as vital from the Lord, and that you might be blessed in your own heart. Because the more you pray for others, the more God will meet you at the point of your own need. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed tonight and we're all just meditating before the Lord, it may be that there's someone here tonight and you're not a believer. This message has been directed to those who are Christians. But if you're not a Christian tonight, I exhort you and encourage you, call upon Christ now to save you. Whether you're a young person, maybe you're not that old, But you understand what I'm saying to you tonight, and you need Jesus as your Lord. For Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Young, medium, old friend, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the Word of God, and we pray it will be fastened to our minds. We will not soon forget. Lord, help us to be more faithful unto Thy truth. Help me, I pray, O God, as a pastor, to hold Thy Word faithfully and not to turn away from its truth in any area. O Lord, give us strength, we pray. Help us to do according to Thy perfect and divine decree. Dear Lord, part us now, we pray, in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing. Keep us in the center of Thy perfect will. And dear Father, prosper this people. Bless this congregation. Lord, come and revive our hearts. Come and stir our souls so that we are drawn closer to Thee. Hear our prayers now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.